You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back to the show. So now, Tammy and I are actually going to get into the topic of when it comes to risk assessment of borrowers. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when we see borrowers every day in the mortgage industry, and I'm a licensed loan originator, 298-419 is my NMLS number. I have to make sure to say that. Of course, mm-hmm. I'm with Cornerstone Mortgage. When we evaluate the risk of a borrower, mm-hmm. okay, there's four major scenarios that seem to jump out that really put up the red flags when it comes to the credit worthiness and just the risk assessment of a borrower.
I'm sure you've experienced all four of them.
Well, and it's interesting because there's kind of a three-pronged approach to it. The three prongs being the borrower's credit, borrower's income, and the house itself.
Right.
Okay, but I'm going to talk mainly about when we evaluate the borrower specifically.
Okay. Okay. So I guess, Doug, because when we're young, and I'll say stupid, speaking about myself, maybe.
I was there too.
We don't really listen to our parents all that well. They may or may not say these things to us, but I think one of the things, we just don't understand what credit score means. My parents bought a ton of homes, so I experienced that side of things, but I didn't know how they were able to buy all those homes.
Right. What makes them able to while somebody else can't?
Right.
Absolutely. And that's something that many parents don't teach their kids.
Well, I don't even know if I would have understood it at age 14, 15, even then,
Well, and repetition, I think, is key when you're talking mm-hmm. to kids, that they're not going to get it the first time. Mm-hmm. But after they hear it multiple times and you keep pounding that stuff into their head, it's not a one-time sit-down birds and the bees conversation and now mm-hmm. you check it off your list.
Right.
It's something that you're going to have to educate them on over time.
Well, and Dylan, last week he listened to the show and he's like, I should know this stuff, but I don't. That was above my head.
Right. Yeah, our 24-year-old. All right, so let's jump into these four items that really can make somebody a risky borrower. Yeah. So number one on the list is if your credit score is below a 620, okay, then mm-hmm. you're going to be a much higher risk.
So, when it comes to interest rates, one of the things that I've heard you actually struggle with, well, not you struggle with, but your clients sometimes struggle with, the interest rate seems to be higher for those with a lower score. And it seems like if I don't already have money, why would I have a higher interest rate? That's where my brain goes, is like...
Ugh. Right, almost like it's some sort of prejudice against somebody with lower credit scores.
Right,
Like they're branded with that score from birth or something. Like
right.
The caste,
and the scarlet letter.
Yeah, the caste system or something where you can't ever get out of that.
Right.
But you determine your own credit score by how you pay your bills.
Right, so it's really the responsibility of the client, of the consumer, to take care of their credit if you want a reward, right?
It is, and here's the reason why. People actually ask the question, why would they give someone a higher interest rate mm-hmm. because they have a lower credit score? Mm-hmm. And it's just a real simple answer. It is about risk. Mm-hmm. Okay, the higher risk somebody is, the higher interest rate you have to charge them, because people in their credit score scenario default more often. So when you look at delinquencies and when you look at defaults, if you graph them out based on credit score, it's a perfect graph.
So another question I guess that just really came to mind, so Dylan and I were talking last week about it. Dylan is our son, by the way. He was, he's trying to establish credit, so his credit score may not be very high, so that's a whole nother maybe topic.
Well, yeah, it is a topic, and I think we can actually cover that next, because I do want to talk about how to build a credit score from scratch.
Okay, perfect.
But if somebody's below a 620 score, we're going to definitely consider them a pretty high risk.
Okay.
And even, really even above that, they're higher risk. I mean, if you're below a 640 score, we're going to have to jump through a few more hoops, and you're not going to get the best interest rate unless you're above a 740 credit score.
Okay, all right. So another scenario that I was curious about was, if I don't have steady employment, what if I've only worked a couple years or even less than a couple years? Or what if I have a lot of questions. What if I'm self-employed?
Right, so that's scenario number two, is you don't have steady employment or have less than 2 years of self-employed mm-hmm. income. So why is that a problem? Okay. So if somebody doesn't have steady employment, they're hopping from one job to another with big job gaps, unless they have a lot of money in reserve, Okay, that's a little scary because those are usually the people that are living paycheck to paycheck. And sometimes it's no fault of their own why they lose their job. It just happens sometimes. Mm-hmm. But you are a higher credit risk because if you take on a new house payment or you take on a new car payment and you lose that job and you're living paycheck to paycheck, well, how are you going to make the next payment?
Right. And Doug, now when a client comes to you at Cornerstone and they set up a meeting with you, you'll go over their tax returns to kind of review how much home they can afford?
Right. We definitely show the difference between affordability and approvability.
Okay.
So let me give you an example. I have a borrower right now who I can approve for a lot more than what they can afford.
Okay.
So we always have to be careful because we don't want anybody to overbuy.
Right.
But back to the employment situation, mm-hmm. if somebody is self-employed, they really need 2 years of self-employment, and we have to see their tax returns to show. In the old days, lenders would just do a stated income loan, and the borrower could just state how much income they make. That's what you put on the application, and very few questions asked. And those resulted in a lot of defaults. Okay, if someone has less than 2 years self-employment, there's such a high failure rate of newer businesses,
right,
that definitely makes them a much higher credit risk.
It makes sense to me. It makes sense. So, all right, let's move on to scenario number three. You have financial responsibilities you're not taking care of. I'm guessing that's why they're risky.
That will definitely make someone a higher risk.
Right.
So it could be delinquent child support payments. It could be unpaid tax liens. It could be delinquent federal student loans. Anything like that. Are their financial responsibilities that somebody probably signed on for. And sometimes with like unpaid tax liens and things, it can be misunderstandings, but you're going to have to go through a lot of work to prove it.
Right, and to clean that up.
Right, and delinquent child support payments. I mean, that's a nightmare for people. I know lots of dads, I know lots of moms that have had child support payments that were unreasonable and maybe they lost their job and couldn't pay them. But each of those things does raise the amount of risk involved with loaning that person money.
Okay, so scenario number four. I don't have enough for a down payment. So we're talking about risk here. We're talking about the scenarios that you're a risky borrower. So if I don't have a down, I come to you and I don't have a down payment, what happens?
Well, okay, so there are some loan programs where people can get in with no money down. Okay, a VA loan is one of them. It's 100% financing. A USDA loan is 100% financing. Even on an FHA loan where they require 3.5% down, you can use down payment assistance funds that will give you almost all the down payment if you meet those criteria to do it. Now, when we say you don't have a down payment, the reason I have that in here on why that makes someone a higher credit risk is, plain and simple, if people don't have skin in the game, if they got into a house with no money down, the odds of foreclosure go way up.
Okay. I see.
If something goes wrong, you can just walk away from it. If you think about, if you're listening right now and you think about if you ever put a lot of money out to buy a house or a lot of money out to buy a car and you know that you have a lot of equity in it, well, you lose your job and you get behind on payments, you're going to find a way to make that payment because you're not going to just give away your equity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you will find a way to do it. And it's proved that if you have down payment, that you know how to save.
Right.
You know how to actually have a reserve fund. And if you don't have down payment, that means you also don't have a reserve fund.
Well, maybe we can lead into this into the next segment, but how can somebody improve their chances?
Okay, so when guiding clients through the process of acquiring a loan, okay, there's a laundry list of things that I end up suggesting that they end up tackling and monitoring. And some of the top items are going to be your credit report. Okay, make sure that you monitor your credit report regularly. I would encourage in those situations to get one of the credit monitoring services so that you can see what your score is on a regular basis and understand the difference between a Vantage score and a FICO score, for instance. So monitor the credit report really closely. Work on paying down your debt. Bring all your accounts into good standing. Okay, you're either going to securing the funds for the down payment is another one that's a very, very important. And then you can start searching for homes that allow 100% financing if you don't have the down payment. And that's something that I can help people with. So it may not be you listening right now. It may be the kid that's still living in your basement. Okay, it may be the kid that's moved out,
just
living
in an
apartment.
Just turn the radio up really loud.
Right. It may be your son or daughter. It may be your grandson or daughter that needs the advice to make sure that they are not a risky borrower.
Right. Let's get them started. Let's get everyone started on the right path.
Right. So if you want to get them on the right path, or if you're in that situation personally and you want to make sure you're on the right path and you're not a risky borrower, then reach out to me. Okay. You can text me 314-472-DOUG. That's 472-D-O-U-G, which is 3684, the numbers for it. You also can visit our website at smartwithyourmoney.com. And smartwithyourmoney.com, you can shoot me a message on there, on the site. You can reach out on the Contact Us screen and send a message right away. And we'll also have a blog post for this so you can see the four scenarios to determine if you are a risky borrower. So coming up, we're going to actually, this ties in very well, this last topic, because now we're going to cover building a credit score from scratch in five easy steps. You'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show, broadcast from the Cornerstone Mortgage Studios at FM News Talk 97.1.